Matthew chapter 9. Jesus got into the boat and went back across the Lake of Galilee to his own town. Well, his own town, that just shows how Jesus really was so human. Although he never sinned, he really did have human nature, and he acted and felt and identified as a local Palestinian Jew. And some people brought to him a man who was paralyzed, who was lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Be cheerful, son, your sins are forgiven you." So then, when he saw the faith of the man's friends, he forgave the man his sins. So it shows that to some degree, what you do for others can lead to their forgiveness. It's not simply that we are facing off against God or Jesus on our own. No, he, for one thing, wants to help, wants to forgive, wants to bless us, but that he will pay attention because of the prayers of others for us and the efforts that others make, because otherwise there would be no point in praying for each other or making efforts for each other if, in fact, that had no effect. But then some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man is speaking blasphemy."
What's blasphemy mean?
Blasphemy is when you speak against God. And Jesus perceived, he sensed their thoughts inside them. And it's the same Jesus with whom we have to do today, who senses our thoughts and is particularly sensitive to human thoughts. He said, "Why do you think such bad things? Which is easier for me to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I wish to demonstrate then that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." And therefore he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, pick up your bed, and return to your house." And the man got up and returned to his house, and when the people saw it, they praised God greatly for giving such power unto men. So then he was able to forgive people their sins, and even more so now. He had authority to do that from God, and even more so now. Jesus left that place, and walking along, he saw a tax collector called Matthew sitting at his desk, and he said to him, "Follow me." Matthew got up and followed him. Now, this is Matthew's gospel we're reading, so he's describing himself, sort of from outside of himself, and explaining with great humility how he was called to the gospel. And all our preaching is to some degree telling people our personal faith and our personal experience with Jesus. So while Jesus was eating in the house of Matthew, there were many tax collectors and other people who were rejected by society who came and sat with Jesus and the disciples at the table. And the Pharisees saw this and asked his disciples, "Why does your master eat with sinners?" Because in those days, to share the same table, to break your bread with somebody, was a sign of acceptance. And Jesus accepted people where they were and tried to lead them further. And that's what he did with these tax collectors who were seen as working on behalf of Rome and who were seen as not patriotic and stealing money from people, etc. Jesus said to them, "Those who are healthy don't need a doctor, but those who are sick need a doctor. Go and learn what this means in the scriptures. I seek mercy and not sacrifices. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So he's saying, yeah, I accept people where they are, and I break bread with them, I fellowship with them, in order to lead them to repentance. So you must never take a position whereby you say, "Ah, look, when you've cleaned your life up, then you'll be good enough. Jump over this sort of bar, and then you can have fellowship with Jesus." We should accept people where they are, but we accept them where they are so that we might lead them to repentance. And that's what Jesus is saying. And then the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus, and they asked, "Why is it that we and the Pharisees often fast, but your disciples don't seem to fast at all?" Jesus replied, "Do you think that the guests at the wedding feast should be sad as long as the bridegroom is with them? Of course not. But the time comes when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then in those days they will fast." I think Jesus has just been very supportive and positive about his disciples. They weren't really religious guys, most of them, and they didn't keep the various fasts that were required of them. And Jesus is saying, yeah, that's because I'm with them and they perceive me to be the bridegroom. Well, he's sort of also making excuses, but he's being very positive about them. And this is how Jesus is with us. He's very positive about us. And so we must never feel that we're no good, because Jesus is really positive about us. Nobody, Jesus went on, tries to patch up an old garment with a piece of new cloth, for the new garment is going to then shrink and an even bigger hole is made in the coat. Neither does anybody put new wine into old wineskins, for the wineskins will burst and the wine will run out and the skins will be ruined. But instead, new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both will be preserved. So the new wine is like the blood of Jesus. And unless we change, then we are going to burst apart and the blood of Jesus will just flow out and be wasted on the ground. It would be so tragic. So we must change. We must be new, or else the death of Jesus will be in vain for us. Whilst Jesus was saying these things, there was a Jewish local official who came to him, knelt down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but if you come and place your hands on her, she'll live." So this person had faith to believe that Jesus could raise the dead. So Jesus followed him and his disciples followed after him. But on the way, there was a woman who'd suffered from bleeding for 12 years, and she came behind Jesus and touched just the hem of his cloak, thinking to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I will be healed." But Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Have faith, my daughter. Your faith has made you well." At that instant, the woman became well. And so Jesus went to the official's house. And when he saw the musicians for the funeral and all the professional mourners there, he said, "Get out, everyone. The young girl isn't dead, she's only sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn. Just shows how insincere they were. They were people who were hired to come and mourn at funerals. And so they weren't very sincere. And when Jesus said, no, she's not dead, she's just asleep, they laughed at him, just as people might laugh at us when we openly profess our understanding of things. But as soon as the people had been asked to leave, Jesus went into the little girl's room and took her hand, and she got up. And the news about that spread over all that part of the country. And I love the way that in the other Gospels it says that he said to them, "Please give her something to eat." Because she'd been sick and dead for a while. She hadn't eaten. So the girl was hungry and everyone was running around her. "Oh, great, she's come back to life." And Jesus said, "Yeah, give her something to eat." And so you see how Jesus is so thoughtful and so sensitive to people. He's altogether lovely. And this Jesus who was like this is the same Jesus with whom we have to do today. And as Paul says to the Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the Jesus whom we shall meet at the day of judgment. Leaving that place, as Jesus went along, two blind men followed him, shouting out, "Have mercy upon us, you son of David." When Jesus had entered into the house, the two blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you have faith that I can cure you?" "Yes, master," they replied. So Jesus touched their eyes and said, "May it be just as you believe." And their sight came back. And Jesus said to them very strictly, "Don't tell anybody." But they left and spread the good news about Jesus all over that area. As the men were going out, some people brought to Jesus a man who couldn't walk and appeared to be possessed by a demon. Now, demons don't exist, but that was what the people thought at the time. And Jesus doesn't directly tell them that's not the case. He simply does miracles that are so powerful that it just shows that whatever reason there is for sickness, God and Jesus are so far greater that effectively they don't exist. No, I don't think he did. But he went along with people's wrong understandings, because he wasn't the kind of person who went around immediately telling people, "Oh, just let me correct you on this. Ah, that's not right. Let me just put you right." It was a very, very deep belief that people had, and so he let that go. But he showed them that the power of God was so much greater. And that's why, as the gospel records go on, you don't read about him casting out demons, because people had got used to the idea that sickness is from God, and God can cure it through his son. So they brought to Jesus the man who couldn't talk because it seemed he had a demon. But as soon as the demon had been driven out, the man started talking, and the people were amazed. "We have not seen anything like this in Israel," they remarked. But the Pharisees said, "It's the chief of the demons who's giving him power to drive out demons." No matter what miracles Jesus did, the Pharisees always wanted to criticize. Jesus went all round about in all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and healing the people who had every kind of disease and illness. But as he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So that's how we should be. As you see crowds of people walking along, they're walking in darkness, and we can really help them. He said to the disciples, "The harvest is indeed ready and great, but there are few laborers to work in it. So pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into the harvest."